Discerning Hearts presents Heart of the World, Meditations on the Paschal Mystery with Dr. Anthony Lillis. In response to the isolation in which much of the world was plunged into due to the outcomes of the global pandemic caused by the coronavirus in 2020, Dr. Anthony Lillis has chosen to offer Discerning Hearts listeners an opportunity to enter into a special retreat, which he was to offer in April of 2020 at a retreat center in California. In this special presentation, consisting of several successive conferences by Dr. Lillis, he will base his meditations on the Paschal Mystery by exploring the great spiritual classic, Heart of the World, by Hanserz von Balthasar. The video of this conference can be viewed at discerninghearts.com or on the Discerning Hearts YouTube channel. We now present Conference 1 of this retreat with Dr. Anthony Lillis. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Anthony.
Chris, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It is wonderful to be able to talk to you like this and to be able to see you. I'm not happy. Of course, I'm not happy about the pandemic or the circumstances that have caused us all to shelter in place. But one of the benefits is that we have some time and to do something, you know, do some things that maybe we've been wanting to do for a long time. And having an opportunity to be able to record like this with you, I think that's one of the real gifts. So thank you.
Well, it's been a gift for me too, Chris. Thank you. And I think, you know, Discerning Hearts has been a very important voice of communion for people all over the country. You've given us a place to go to get some spiritual food. And especially now we're coming into Holy Week, and some of the programming that you've put together for us through the years, really, I think there's going to be a lot of people going to discerninghearts.com to find some spiritual nourishment during this time when we can't have public liturgies.
Well, you're a part of the heartbeat of all that, and so I thank you. You know, you first brought us Elizabeth, but you brought us so many more. And I think we're all blessed by the gift of your time. So thank you.
Well, I'm excited that we're doing this. You and I had started a book together called Christian Meditation, and we did the first part of that, and we need to do the second part. It's a three-part book, but there's another three-part book that as we are looking at that, that kind of comes into play. And I was actually scheduled to give a retreat on this other book to some people here in California. I was hoping to get you to come out and be part of it. And so the Franciscan Missionary Sisters at St. Clair's retreat house in Soquel, California, we're going to host a retreat on the Triduum that where we use meditations from Hanserz von Balthasar's book called Heart of the World. And although we won't be able to do that this year in person, I thought that some of those conferences we might be able to share together and kind of work it into some of what von Balthasar was saying in Christian Meditation, because there's places of connection here that I think are very important. In a retreat conference, you give people food or something for them to meditate on. And sometimes when people launch into a retreat, they don't really talk about what it means to meditate, to Christian meditation as opposed to just any meditation, and how this can open up to a deeper encounter with the Lord. And in Heart of the World, von Balthasar, Hanserz von Balthasar, wants to induct us into the Paschal mystery of Jesus. And he wants us to experience existentially Jesus's mission, his agony, his death, his descent into hell, but also his resurrection in a way, and he wants us to experience it in a way that we can appropriate to our lives. And in order to do that, as we go through the meditations that are in Heart of the World, reading what he says about meditation itself and thinking about what he says about meditation itself, I think is a great preparation for those exercises. So, Chris, what I would like to do with you is a series of exercises on really the Easter Triduum, on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. But I would like to do that in the context of leading people into deeper mental prayer, and meditation is part of it, a deeper kind of mental prayer. And so in order to do that in this first conference that we're having together, what I'd like to do is talk about what is meditation. And we began those conversations in what is meditation. We did a conversation together about how techniques in meditation are subordinate to our faith in Jesus. And so the techniques, whatever we use, whatever methods we use, they don't help us to achieve our faith. They're not there to titanically cling to or grasp God or pull God down into my world so that I can be in control of what God says to me, when he says it and how he says it. Rather, faith is this deeper kind of surrender. And it's in that deeper surrender, we maybe use techniques to help us enter into the surrender, but they don't replace the surrender. And so that was our conversation last time when we began to look at Christian meditation, kind of the primacy, when we talk about the primacy of faith in meditation, then we got to talk about the primacy of God's action, the primacy of grace in Christian prayer. We pray because God has already begun to move and do something beautiful in our hearts. And since he's the primary actor and we're responding to him, any use of any technique at all is simply to help us respond to what he's doing. And it's not a mental gymnastics so that I can have some kind of spiritual achievement. It's not about psychological industry to produce some therapeutic effect. It is instead a surrender of trust to the Lord. And I think in this presentation today, and as we go, I think we want to build on that. We want to talk about what it means to meditate itself. If meditation is subordinate to faith and subordinate to God's action, then what is it we're doing when we do meditate on the Word of God? That's what I'd like to do today.
Okay, very good. Okay, I think that's wonderful. And do we need to make it clear for those who might be listening that Balthazar is formed as a Jesuit, had a deep love and devotion to the spiritual exercises of his founder, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and that the way Ignatius might look at meditation is maybe different than some other spiritualities contained within the rich spiritual tradition of the Catholic Church.
Sure. I think that's an important point. And so as we go through, we're going to let von Balthasar guide us a little bit. And I think whatever our spirituality is, he has some wisdom that we can apply. But I also think in the West especially, after Ignatius developed and introduced the spiritual exercises, that spiritual exercises were actually kind of started in Benedictine spirituality and made their way down to Spain and were used in Montserrat about the same time has Ignatius's conversion. Mm-hmm. And so when he went to Montserrat, he was exposed to some spiritual exercises later on, which he begins to make himself. And later on in Manresa, and from Manresa, you can look out and see the mountain of Mount Serrat, where the Benedictine Abbey is. It's a distance, but it's there. From his cave in Manresa, St. Ignatius began to write down his spiritual exercises. The very first thing, though, and this kind of, I think von Balthasar was well informed of this, when St. Ignatius talks about what spiritual exercises are, instantly most people will think about this elaborate exercise and that has a preparatory phase, and then you select the text, and then you enter into quiet, and then you know, and you use your imagination, and you have composition of place, and then you have a conversation with Jesus, and then you make some kind of resolution to do better, and that's what they think of. And it's very important to know, if you read the very first paragraph of the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius says, a spiritual exercise is anything that arouses your devotion to the Lord, any mental activity, prayer, reading, anything. And so the director should utilize those exercises, those spiritual exercises that most help the person that he's directing, and to assist the director in that, I'm going to propose a method and some specific exercises here. You know, but what he's done is he's kind of like said that what he's doing is just meant to help. It's not the definitive form. It's not the standard that every, you know. Unfortunately, what's happened is a lot of people have kind of read the spiritual exercises or gone through an Ignatius retreat, and for them, that's the gold standard for what all spiritual exercises should be, and all meditation needs to follow these point-by-point things, and it gets done mechanically, it gets done over psychologically, and very kind of with emphasis on method and technique. What von Balthasar does is he frees us from some of that stuff, which was not Ignatius's intent to begin with. And he opens up what I would call more of an approach to prayer that you might find in the Desert Fathers. And insofar as he does that, when we're talking about Christian meditation, you're talking about something that St. Dominic and St. Francis and Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross and Saint Benedict, all the great spiritual masters of our tradition would have recognized what Ignatius was doing as something that was somehow attached to what they themselves were doing in prayer. Once I had the privilege of being able to walk the Camino in northern Spain. I did the Camino Primitivo.
I remember that.
It was a very rugged road and very lonely. There wasn't a lot of pilgrims on this because it was so rugged. Mm-hmm. But the reason why my friend and I chose that was not only because it would be less commercialized, but we wanted to enter deeper into prayer. And I had learned that St. Ignatius and St. Francis had walked that way. And so we followed in their footsteps. And in fact, it was an anniversary, I think 800-year anniversary of when St. Francis had walked that way. And that was a very powerful grace to have done that and follow in the footsteps of those saints. But St. Ignatius really viewed himself not as doing something totally brand new. Mm-hmm. He viewed himself as building on the same spirituality as the pilgrim St. Francis. And he wasn't afraid to build on and draw from Benedictine spirituality. And Hanswurst von Balthasar is well aware of this, and in a way kind of returns the Ignatian tradition back to these more primitive roots in his writings. So going back to your thing, in the 18th and 19th century, there became very, very elaborate modifications of the Ignatian method, and a lot of contemporary religious communities used extremely complex methods for meditation with all kinds of different acts that you might make.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I'm looking at St. Anthony of Clairvaux's spirituality right now. There's something to these beautiful constructions of meditations that they put together, and it produced saints. And so right now, I don't want to disrespect any of that, because it has produced saints.
Sure.
But in order to appreciate those beautiful elaborations on St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises, I think going back to something more fundamental, more apostolic, more at the roots of our faith, in order to access what prayer can really give us, this is where von Balthasar wants to take us. This is where Heart of the World wants to take us, and this is also what we find when we look at this second part of Christian meditation.
I'm so glad you brought up his great love for those desert fathers and how he broke open many of the writings just because he was able to translate them. And it was during that period of the whole rediscovery of those fathers, because of the translations and the discovery of the writings and being able to get them out to a broader audience. And it's, as you said, I have to say, it's very Benedictine too. I mean, it has that source, because that's what fed the Benedictine community for so long and continues to this day. So it's quite wonderful that he had such a love for the word. That's the one thing, as you begin to really explore Balthasar, it is saturated in scripture. He is just so saturated in the scriptures. And that comes from a deep, prayerful reading, very lexio, in allowing the word for Balthasar, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but for him, the word was a capital W. It wasn't the little word. It was an encounter with Christ. When you encountered the word, you opened yourself up to, what is Christ revealing to me? What is he saying to me? Am I right about that?
Yes, and this is what, when you begin to read Heart of the World, mm-hmm. this is what you, if you know that's his whole prerogative in that work, is to help your soul be made vulnerable to the word of the Father speaking himself into you, into your life, into your memory, into your imagination, but all into your affectivity, into your real life situation, the circumstances and the exigencies that surround you right now. Jesus, the word of the Father, has been spoken by the Father into our flesh, into time, into this moment. And because he is present in this moment right now, he has something to say about our lives and about the world and about how we should live. And you know that you've really encountered him when, on one hand, you have an awareness of his presence, but on the other, with that awareness of his presence, you feel your life challenged. Something in your life needs to change because you've come into this presence. A meditation, any kind of meditation or spiritual exercise that does not take you to that place of conversion, that place of personal relationship with the Lord. That place of also judgment and fear of God, mm-hmm. but also that place of profound affirmation and growing certitude about God's love for me and plan for my life. Any meditation that doesn't take you into that kind of encounter maybe is a wonderful spiritual exercise or mental gymnastics that you've done. But if it doesn't lead you to conversion, it's not Jesus. To meet Jesus, all of a sudden you know that in some way, on some level, judgments that I have, I need to let go of, and I need to be more radically surrendered because he has a plan, and it's a beautiful plan. But I can't enter into that plan if I'm hanging on to things that are distracting me from him.
That is so important. And I'm not, and I say that for myself, you know, I'm not trying to anybody out there with great care for where other people are at, but it's letting go of the judgments, having that, yes. that freedom to be able to receive and then to be able to assimilate that. And as you said, that what we should be receiving from that, you have to look at the fruits essentially. And it's good to have others to be able to share that with. And so in some ways, I'm sad that we aren't in that community for a larger retreat where you have to be able to bounce that off. But we can still enter into this and take those moments to really be open in this way, can't we?
We have another kind of community that, you know, contemporary technology has made available to us and mm-hmm. and your hard work has made available to us. And so we will be a union of hearts on a journey together to the Word of God. I want to spend just a little bit more time on what meditation is. And then we'll introduce Heart of the World okay. in this first conference. And we've talked about a meditation on the Word of the Father. Mm-hmm. And the way we access the Word of the Father or have access to him is that he comes to us through the words of sacred scripture. The fathers of the church called sacred scriptures the words of the Word. And it is possible in meditation to get lost in the words themselves. And there are scripture commentaries that are completely lost in the words themselves. They, you know, thousands of pages written, none of which ever lead you into an encounter with Christ.
Yeah. And insofar as... It's true. That's really true. I'm sorry, but I know people out there probably have those books on their shelves and they maybe, you know, you pick them up and you read them, but they're not as life-giving as you wish that you had hoped that they would be. Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, I love scripture scholarship mm-hmm. and I think a good scripture study can prepare you for this kind of meditation that we're talking about. So I'm not dissing any of that, but I'm just saying in terms of prayer, there's a lot of commentary out there that just isn't all that helpful, and to be aware of that, so that you don't, if you open up the scriptures, you don't feel like you need to have, you know, a 1,000-page commentary next to you to figure out what's being said. It's a lot more simple than that, and whether you reflect on the New Testament or the Old Testament, what you're looking for is Jesus. And Jesus is going to speak to you personally through the text. He's going to unveil himself to you some way. And sometimes you read a text and it's not immediately obvious, so you have to pray about it. Lord, how are you present here? And I'm not getting it. And other times you read it and it rings out about as loud as it can be. And you can't not hear that, you know. A powerful thing to read Christian meditation and hear von Balthasar's description of Jesus being found in the temple by Mary and Joseph. While we're recording this, Chris, there's a lot of people around the country who are doing a consecration to St. Joseph, and so they've been preparing now. My household, we did one on March 19th, but there are others who are going to do it on May 1st. And so I was heightened to his descriptions of Jesus conversing with the doctors of the church the doctors of the law in the temple, his father's house. Mm-hmm. And Jesus's awareness that he is the son of the father from already that early age. To encounter Jesus, what is it that Jesus wants to show you? Jesus wants you to know the love of the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He entered into the womb of Mary. He was born in a stable. He suffered death so that we might know the love of the Father. And already as a 12-year-old, he knows he's in the Father's house. Yeah. And he's about the Father's business. Already as a 12-year-old, he's asking questions, and he's willing to learn, but in his very learning, he's teaching us. What does he unveil to your soul about the love of the Father? And the two things that as you receive the revelation of the Father's love through Jesus's teaching as a 12-year-old, or through the Holy Transfiguration, or through his death on the cross, however you receive that, you'll notice that throughout the scriptures, there are people who are hearing him and listening to him. And in Ignatian meditation, you can imagine yourself, what is it like to receive this and respond to it rightly? And then there are other people who are listening to it and responding to it wrongly, who are rejecting it. Their heart is hard. They are deaf. And it's like Jesus is having a conversation with someone deaf, who will not receive his word. And the beauty of Ignatian meditation is that you can put yourself there too. What is my relationship with the word? And the reality is, in the complexity of our lives and our hearts, there's a lot of different places we can listen to the word from. And when we find our hearts hard and we're not hearing and we're not understanding, there's maybe cause to repent. And when when we're responding rightly, there's cause to rejoice. Sometimes we receive the word, what Jesus is revealing to us about the love of the Father, and it leaves us dry. And that might be because I'm psychologically or even morally, I'm not really prepared for this meditation. My life is very far from the gospel, and so it's dry because I, I don't want to hear this, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's also because Jesus is inviting us to know in our hearts, to identify with the movement of his heart when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Mm-hmm. So we approach, we listen to the words of the word, and sometimes there's beautiful consolations in it, and sometimes there's not. And when they're not, and I want to speak to those as we go through this, sometimes mm-hmm. you hear things and it just doesn't resonate with you, and you just feel disconnected from God. And I think right now people are alone in their homes during a very fearful time.
Yeah.
Jesus wants to speak to you. And he wants to turn your solitude right now into a moment of prayer. And if you hear the words of the word and they're leaving your heart dry, you want to encounter Jesus. You want to know the love of the Father. But for whatever reason, it just, you don't feel like that connection's happening. You feel disconnected. You've been living a good life. You've repented for your sins the best you can. You're hanging on the best you can. But it's just aches because you feel lonely and alone, and you're in that place. Mm-hmm. It is precisely in that place that Jesus accomplished our salvation. It's precisely in that weakness and that powerlessness that Jesus's greatest work was unleashed on humanity. And a fountain of grace sprung forth on the world. And in our meditation then, whether you feel consolation or you don't feel consolation, whether you are able to identify with those who receive the word or you can only identify with those who are deaf to it, Jesus is accomplished in all of that. Jesus is speaking to you. And he's speaking to you a word of truth that reveals to you the love of God the Father and the truth about yourself. And so, you know, what you believe about Jesus and how you live are connected together in this meditation. As you ponder the mission of Jesus, a healthy examination of conscience about how you're living the mission that Jesus has entrusted to you will normally take place. And those deep, beautiful questions will emerge in your heart. And you will face some voids and inadequacies and some great difficulties and trials that will happen. But there will also be beautiful consolations and encouragement and a word of hope that maybe doesn't relieve all the difficulties that you're in, but gives you enough courage to make the next move forward. And all of this is waiting for us in the treasury of prayer. That being said, you know, a couple things. Some will say that you need to spend a long time quieting yourself and entering into. For our retreat, I think all you need is if you have a corner of your home where you have an icon or a crucifix perhaps because we're approaching Holy Week or we're approaching the Triduum is even better, light a candle in front of that crucifix and put yourself there with the scriptures. And maybe this week, maybe it's appropriate to read John. Starting John chapter 13 and go from John chapter 13 into chapter 19 that takes you all the way through the night before he died, and it takes you all the way through his trial and his execution, mm-hmm. his crucifixion. And it takes you to the morning of his resurrection. And that material then is the same material that von Balthasar is going to present to us in Heart of the World. He's going to do it very poetically. And so he doesn't say, I'm quoting this verse now. He's going to make indirect references. But we'll try to make some of those connections for you so that as you're reading and meditating on these events of this very Holy Week, you're also guided by the prayerful heart of von Balthasar to find Jesus in it in the most beautiful and powerful ways, in a way that can change your life forever. The reality is, when we read the gospel of Christ, when we read the scriptures with faith, when we read the Holy Bible surrendered to the Lord, it is always a moment of actual grace that can change not only our life, but the lives of everyone around us, and it can change them forever. And so going into retreat is a very, very serious prospect. We're going to confront evil And so this is a very serious battle. We're going to seek our Lord and our teacher. And so there's a lot to be learned. We're going to meet our bridegroom, who has held nothing back to rescue his bride from the power of sin and death. And all of this happens in Christian prayer. We don't need to spend, unlike other writers, I don't believe you need to spend a long time in silence to get ready to read. I think a simple sign of the cross, making an act of faith, being present, letting yourself be aware of God's presence. You might silently pray in Our Father and being aware that Jesus is communicating to you the love of God the Father in that moment through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of this is in the sign of the cross, and all of this is in the Our Father. And then begin to read the scriptures. And then when you see something that makes you pause, stop on that verse and pray with that verse for a little bit, and enter into a conversation with Jesus about what this verse means.
I was just going to say, Anthony, for those who are out there, in the post that will contain this video, whether you're wherever platform you're watching this, we will place those scripture passages or reference them so that you can access them. And even Heart of the World, that the book that Anthony, I don't know if you can see this and if it comes up in the right order, but Heart of the World by Ignatius Press, they're so kind. We will take certain sections out of it, because for some of you, it will be difficult to get a hold of a copy of the book in time for this. But it doesn't mean that we won't encourage you to go and seek it out, because it is such a gem. So we will take excerpts from that that you can look at. But I think the point you're making, Anthony, and you tell me if I'm wrong, what Balthazar would rather have you do is dive into the scripture and encounter that word. That's what he would want you to do. So hopefully that's not an impediment for anybody that's out there, whether online or maybe you have a Bible in your home, you know, that you can do this right now, can't you?
And this, I completely agree with it, with what you've just said. You see, if you're reading the scriptures, looking for what Jesus wants to reveal to you, something beautiful is going to happen in your heart. And it's going to open up a conversation with Jesus where he's communicated something beautiful to you. And so now you share with him what's on your heart. And that conversation back and forth with Jesus, who's revealed to himself to you through the concrete particulars of the text, of the words of the text, his prayer before the Father, or his admonition to the disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches, his words of reproach to Saint Peter, or even to Judas. In these words and in these powerful images of our faith, we will meet Jesus, and he is so beautiful, the splendor of who he is and what he has to communicate is inexhaustible. You can go to the same text for a whole lifetime and never exhaust the conversation that is waiting to happen there. And so this, what von Balthasar wants you to do with his book, Heart of the World, or with the sacred scriptures, or both in this case, is he wants you to have that conversation. He wants you to be overwhelmed by the beauty of the Lord and let it speak into your real life circumstances. And let Jesus, our Master, our God who is crucified for our sake, let that love take hold in your heart. And then after this conversation with Jesus, the other parts of all the different ways you might elaborate a meditation, it kind of is subordinate to that encounter. And resolutions you make, if you make them, will come out of that conversation. Thanking God for the graces that you receive will come out of that conversation. But that conversation that the word of the scriptures open up, that will be the heart of this retreat. The heart of the world is Jesus. And Jesus wants to speak to you. The beginning of heart of the world, the way it begins is kind of on a meditation on time. You might say it kind of causes us to begin to reflect that what does it mean that the eternal word of the Father, who is filled with superabundant meaning, has entered into our time and space, our limitedness, the confines of our earthly existence, the poverty of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. What does it mean that he has been spoken in there and into our lives limited by time? What does it mean that something limitless has entered into our limits? And he will explore, we'll get to see in our first meditation that this is a very dangerous prospect. It's going to open up possibilities and make demands on our existence, a claim on our existence that is not comfortable. And I'm hoping that as you begin to read Jesus's teaching to his disciples that night, that you will become uncomfortable with what he says. If you do, you've entered into this very problem of time and eternity that von Balthasar kind of starts with. His book ends, in the final part of the book, his book ends with a meditation on Jesus, the heart of the world. Well, it's very powerful. For those of you who know the Confessions of St. Augustine, the Confessions of St. Augustine the book ends with a meditation on time and eternity. But the beginning of the Confessions, a truth that I think we need to hear today, it begins with, "Great are you, O Lord, and worthy to be praised." And that whole purpose of that first paragraph is that we are made to praise the living God, and not to praise God does violence to our very nature. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, the worst thing that can befall us is not earthly death or a pandemic. The worst thing that we could befall us is for us not to praise God, because without praising him, whatever life we have is just hell. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. What that means is my heart will only find rest as I learn how to praise God the way he deserves, the way he desires, when he desires. And that's why we are on this earth, to learn how to praise the living God, which includes loving one another. And so right now, the church is asking us to love one another, that our praise of God in our homes is going to be found in the way we are patient, bearing with each other patiently in our homes. Or if you have a loved one who's isolated right now, calling them and reaching out to them and letting them know that they're not alone is very, very important. So this is how the Confessions begin. The Heart of the World by Hans-Urs von Balthasar ends with a sentence, his heart, Jesus's heart, the heart of the world, is restless until it rests in you. Jesus, however much we feel frustrated right now in our life of prayer and our personal devotion because of the inconveniences, Jesus is even more thirsting and yearning and desiring you. And he's caused that desire in you to be there. And he longs to rest in your heart. And this retreat will be all about opening ourselves to Jesus resting in our heart.
What would you instruct that group in front of you in this retreat center? What would you, this wonderful community, but what would you say to everyone right now? What can they do?
Well, first I would say, if you're going to enter into this retreat, keep silence the best you can. And I don't mean to not say anything to the people in your household right now, to whom you may need to say something just to keep the peace.
Sure.
But maybe instead of conversations being about kind of worry and anxiety about the pandemic, maybe we can raise our hearts to Jesus. And maybe we can let our conversations be about him and what he did for us. And maybe more mundane things can take back seat for a little while. Maybe the video games can be turned off, at least limited. Maybe Facebook and Twitter and all and the news and all the vitriolic speech that's out there in the public domain, we don't let that into our homes while we are going on this retreat. But we let our homes be a little bit more centered on Jesus. That prayer corner that I talked about, where there's a candle and a crucifix and a Bible, if you don't have that, find that place in your home now. Build that place in your home. Even if you have to draw the crucifix on a piece of paper, draw it, paste it on the wall. And then third, you know, it's also appropriate during this week to fast. And the best fast, I think, is on bread and water. So after dinner Thursday night or a late lunch, maybe make a resolution that for the rest of whole Good Friday and Holy Saturday, you as a family will fast on bread and water. You could have dinner Saturday night, so it's not that bad, you know. But if you pray and fast, if you keep silence, if you let your conversations be about holy things, if you cut out the amount of entertainment but let your heart be still, I think this will be an extremely fruitful retreat for you.
Can I ask this question, Anthony, because I don't want to take away from what everyone is resting in now and getting prepared for. But when you speak about that we exist to praise God, you know, I couldn't help but think, okay, God is love. That's what John tells us, the author of the letters of the gospel we're going to be reading. And to praise God is to praise love. And that, I think, you know, many of us can relate to that. If you have children or grandparents or a spouse or someone who has just loved you, all you want to do is love them back. You just want to, you want to somehow give to them back something. And, you know, I think of my grandmother, for example. She went to be with God in 1987. And even now, I want to praise my grandmother. That's all I want to do now, you know, because I want to love her the way she loved me back. Is that possibly the type of praise? I mean, sometimes people think, well, God demands us to say he's great. No, you want to say great because love is great. You know, you want to respond to that. Am I making it too simple?
No, God is love. And to praise God is to make known his love. And so that's why, you know, doing loving acts with each other is very important. But I also think it's wrong to belittle saying that God is great.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm yeah.
And my point is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody reveals the good character of another person, some righteous thing they did, and declares it, not only is the goodness of the person that is talked about magnified, but the person who speaks, who offers the word of praise, their character is revealed. When you reveal the greatness of another, something about your own greatness is manifest. God wants our greatness to be manifest in the world because it's a word of hope and it helps people remember the truth of their humanity. And when we praise God, when we declare the glories of his love and his truth and his goodness, when we make known his beauty through what we say and how we live and how we treat one another, how we keep our homes and the hospitality we offer, all of these things, when we do that, we show the greatness of God. But in doing that, we also allow God to show the greatness of his handiwork. And at a time where people need a word of hope, this is especially needed today. People are forgetting about God, and they're getting trapped in either anxieties, rash judgments about things, or fearful judgments about things. They're tempted to do brash things that are reckless, or they're tempted to not do anything, paralyzed in fear. And none of that is the way we should go as human beings. As human beings, we live to reveal, we are in the image and likeness of God. We live to reveal him. He is love, so he's revealed through our love. But when we reveal him, the very greatness that he created us to be is magnified on this earth. And right now, the world needs that.
You remind me of a prayer I heard from a woman named Mary that's in the scriptures. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's that kind of praise, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, that's a model, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Mary is our model. That's excellent. Yeah.
So when we, again, in just in closing this particular aspect of the conversation, the preparation, where would you want us to be? And finding that space, reading those scriptures, is there anything else you would tell your retreatant?
Well, finally, you know, don't be afraid of the solitude that the Lord calls you into, and don't be frustrated by all the inconveniences of this time. This is an extremely sacred opportunity that the Lord is inviting the whole church to. And so make the most of this present opportunity. And no matter what happens, God is going to win. No matter what happens, he's already triumphed. And we're just kind of the mop-up operation afterwards. He's already beat this pandemic and all the evil forces that have been unleashed through it. The victory's already his. That's what Sunday morning declares loudly to the world. The praise of the risen Lord makes known the handiwork of God in a singular way. And this retreat is simply saying yes to those graces. And so order your lives, do whatever you can to take advantage of this. Do not let this time that God has given you go to waste.
Anthony, would you say to that person too out there who is frustrated because this isn't a retreat house? They're having to do it in their home, and they may have little kids, they may have all kinds of activity that's going on. Could we remind them that God has, He's placed you in that moment. He has you in that home. He's calling you to this retreat. He knows exactly what you're up against. So try not to get too anxious about it and let it be. Do all your prep, do what you can, but don't let that be, you know, to get in the way. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair and very good. Very good advice. I would also say too, you know, depending on your state of life, and for those, some of you, it's extremely busy and chaotic in your homes, and you're dealing with all kinds of free wills, so you can't dictate, you know, everybody what they're going to do. And so rather than try to change everybody and everything, realize whatever time you devote to this, God is going to use that to the max. You give Him even 5 minutes, and He's going to do so much with those 5 minutes because you try to give them to Him out of love. But don't be anxious or frustrated or disappointed or upset. This is meant to make these days more beautiful and meaningful for you, not more hectic. And that would be operating against the whole spirit of this retreat. Let the Lord be Lord of your retreat. So if He only gives you 5 minutes, thank Him for the 5 minutes. If He gives you 10, thank Him for the 10. And if He gives you a couple hours, praise Him for that too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Anthony.
All right. God bless.
This concludes Conference 1 of this special audio version of an online retreat entitled Heart of the World, Meditation on the Paschal Mystery with Dr. Anthony Lillis. This retreat is based on the book Heart of the World by Hans Urs von Balthasar. To obtain a copy of this book, please visit the website of its publisher, Ignatius Press, at ignatius.com. To hear and or to download this audio podcast, visit discerninghearts.com. You can find it on numerous podcast streaming platforms, as well as on the free Discerning Hearts app. To watch the video of this conference, visit discerninghearts.com or the Discerning Hearts YouTube channel. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and we hope that you will join us again for Heart of the World, Meditation on the Paschal Mystery with Dr. Anthony Lillis.